evening this week, KPLU has brought you a special report on the World Trade Organization meeting in Seattle. Now here's our Wednesday evening edition with your host, KPLU's business and labor reporter, Steve Krueger.
Good evening. Seattle is once again a city under curfew. Mayor Paul Shell imposed the order less than an hour ago. Once again, it is illegal to be on the streets in the downtown core between 7 tonight and 7:30 tomorrow morning. It was a generally peaceful day, but late this afternoon, police and National Guardsmen began using heavy doses of tear gas to break up a roaming crowd of protesters near the Pike Place Market. Part of the problem is that President Clinton is staying at the Westin Hotel just a few blocks away. Secret Service agents are very worried about his safety. Several WTO social events scheduled for tonight have been canceled. The delegates from the 134 member nations are virtual prisoners inside their hotels. Hundreds of people have been arrested as police changed their tactics more than 180 degrees from yesterday to one of absolutely no tolerance for protesters. In fact, there is a ban against all demonstrations in a 50-block radius around the convention center. We'll have all of that and more tonight as we continue our coverage of the WTO in Seattle. First up, President Clinton was in town. He urged WTO trade ministers to include environment and labor safeguards in the next round of trade agreements. Clinton acknowledged the suspicions held by many developing countries that wealthy nations are pushing those issues to keep poorer countries down. But the president says his motives are pure.
I do not want the United States or any other country, now or later, to be able to use this as a shield for protectionism, but to pretend that it is not a legitimate issue in many countries is another form of denial, which I believe will keep the global trading system from building the public support it deserves.
Clinton also spoke to farmers at a Seattle port terminal. KPLU's Paula Whistle has that story.
Inside a drafty container cargo warehouse belonging to, appropriately enough, the American President's shipping line, Clinton said the next round of the WTO must take up the issue of agriculture.
Today, our agenda here is to fight and win for the family farmers of the United States.
Farmers here, he says, are hurt when they can't export their products overseas.
We just want agriculture to be treated as fairly as any other sector in the global economy.
Countries, he says, must end farm subsidies. The subsidies, he says, prevent farmers from effectively competing with each other.
Whether an apple farmer in the Cascades, a banana farmer in the Catamaroon, any farmer deserves a chance to compete. They shouldn't have to compete against state-owned enterprises, restrictive regulations, the size of other countries' government grants.
The U.S. proposal is controversial in the WTO. The European Union and Japan see subsidizing and protecting their own farmers as almost sacred. Paula Whistle, KPLU News.
Africans and African Americans are forging free trade links outside the World Trade Organization conference. And they're meeting at the Seattle University for the African Day of Business. KPLU's Robert Tynes has more.
The talks begin with prayer, first in Yoruba. Then Amharic, Arabic, and English. There are also speeches by WTO delegates from Africa and government officials from America. Rodney Slater is with the U.S. Department of Transportation. He says the potential for commerce is enormous.
With more than 8 million potential customers, Africa is one of the largest emerging markets in the entire world.
Slater says removing trade barriers means more jobs and stronger economies. Ugandan delegate Moses Ali says raising employment rates is important. But African countries also need help with colossal debts. National finances blighted by decades of post-colonial reconstruction and abuse of dictators.
Servicing that debt is breaking our back.
The U.S. has pledged to help with the African credit problem, and the Senate has passed the African Trade Bill. The legislation would give African countries duty-free access to American markets. The U.S. presently controls over 20% of the global market, while Africa only has 2%. Robert Tynes, KPLU News.
Should medicine...
A lot of the criticism...
Should medicine be produced for profit? Should patents be issued on genetic material and living things? Those are some of the controversial issues contained in the WTO's agreement on international intellectual property rights. Lobbyists and politicians from around the world have been discussing these matters today. KPLU's Bellamy Palethorpe has been following some of those discussions. Thanks, Bellamy, for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you, Steve.
These are kind of complex issues, and even you've tried to talk to me about them three or four times, and my eyes sort of glaze over. How are these folks dealing with this stuff?
You're not alone, Steve. I went to one meeting this morning, a bunch of nonprofits mostly, but also some trade representatives were there in a very crowded hotel conference room. People literally huddled around an overhead projector where they were looking at the different paragraphs of the intellectual property agreement. This agreement is highly controversial because it contains the controversial clause on the patents of life. This gets into genetically produced seed, organisms, all kinds of things. It also affects medicines. And there's also the issue of indigenous knowledge of indigenous cultures. Are often corporations have had more or less a carte blanche to go in. They've actually taken indigenous knowledge, patented it, and made money off of it without giving anything back. This is starting to come to light, and I spoke with Richard Wilder of the World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva, and he had some comments on developments there.
A lot of the criticism, a lot of the problems that have been expressed are entirely appropriate. There have been problems with the intellectual property system and the way it's been implemented. There have been problems in the past with individuals or companies going into countries and just taking the patrimony of that country, taking biological material and providing no compensation in return. But what we're trying to do is to provide a way for these countries to make use of the intellectual property system to prevent that kind of activity.
Obviously, this is going to be something that is going to be the subject of much more discussion.
That's right. And in fact, there was a lot of discussion going on today. Just down the street from that meeting in a church, there was the Public Citizen, and Ralph Nader appeared there in the large group of citizens talking about patenting of life, all kinds of international perspectives. And people are really charged up about these issues, and hopefully we'll see some movement on it.
Thanks, Bellamy. You helped to unglaze my eyes. The other big story of the day was the continuing problems of unrest on the streets in downtown Seattle. In fact, Seattle did impose a 50-square-block no-protest zone surrounding the Trade and Convention Center. Mass arrests began before 7 this morning, and as KPLU's Dan Treidel reports, they continued throughout the day.
At mid-morning, several hundred protesters assembled near Westlake Mall. Riot-equipped police encircled about 100 people sitting on the ground, arresting them one by one, escorting or carrying them to waiting Metro buses. After the protester-filled buses drove away, several hundred remaining demonstrators wandered south on 4th Avenue, then west on Union Street through moving traffic. At 3rd and Union, near Benaroya Hall, several demonstrators surrounded a car and began arguing with the obviously distressed driver. People continued north on 3rd, eventually dispersing into smaller groups. Protester Sarah Kerr from Edmonton, Alberta, noted that the activities were more peaceful than the day before.
I apologize for any inconvenience we're causing, but we really need to make a point. And if your bus is a little late, I'm sorry. We're talking about really significant global issues here, and the bus is just going to have to wait.
Riot-equipped police, some on horseback, remained on street corners throughout the afternoon. People, demonstrators and otherwise, were prevented from walking near the Sheraton Hotel and State Convention Center, where scheduled WTO meetings were taking place. Dan Treidel, KPLU News.
And much of Seattle's downtown retail core remained closed today and was boarded up after yesterday's vandalism. A diverse crew of volunteers is pitching in to help with the cleanup. KPLU's Charlie McAteer has more.
Discovering their businesses graffitied or ransacked, owners and employees are shocked, disappointed, and angry. A single storefront window costs between $5,000 and $15,000, says Downtown Seattle Association President Kate Jonkis. She says that price, in addition to lost holiday revenue, could mean the end for some small businesses. Jonkis says she's gotten a number of calls from concerned residents wanting to help.
There was an environmental protester at my door this morning who said, this is not what we came for. How can I help?
Miranda Seaton from Bellingham was scrubbing graffiti off the walls of a boarded-up Banana Republic. She took part in a peaceful march that got dispersed because of police blockades.
We want to continue to do stuff to make a difference, so right now we're cleaning some of this crap up.
Seaton says vandals represent only a minuscule percentage of WTO protesters. She found the unity of thousands of other demonstrators inspiring. Charlie McAteer, KPLU News.
And the ongoing standoff between police and protesters extended beyond Seattle's downtown into the Capitol Hill neighborhood last night. There, unsuspecting residents confronted grenades and tear gas. KPLU's Michelle Garcia was there and has this report.
These have become common sounds to anyone that has been through downtown recently. But Tuesday night, residents of Capitol Hill, dining in restaurants and cafes, also suffered from tactics used by police to disperse the protesters. Angry Capitol Hill residents confronted a sergeant on the corner of Boylston and Pine about what they called an invasion into residential territory. Mayor Schell says that Seattle just didn't have enough police to conduct mass arrests, but defends the police's decision to cross and enter the Capitol Hill area.
It was a part of the process of dispersing them. They went up a commercial street, Pine Street, to Broadway, as I understand it, with very little vandalism. I apologize to those citizens who had to sniff tear gas. It's not pleasant. I'm saddened at the fact that, as a former protester myself, that I had to do that.
Mayor Schell adds that the increased aid from the National Guard, local counties, and state police should help them contain the protester police confrontations downtown. Michelle Garcia, KPLU News.
And disruptions come in large and small packages when things like this happen with violence and activities around something like the World Trade Organization. Due to the extenuating circumstances and the problems, Argosy Cruise Lines has made a decision to cancel the Christmas ship program tonight. They were supposed to begin. There was no bonfire programs at Myrtle Edwards or Park either. I'm Steve Kruger, KPLU. Now the sounds of the day.
To those who came here to break windows and hurt small businesses, or stop people from going to meetings or having their say, I condemn them.
I'm upset that the media, you know, calls these guys demonstrators and protesters also, and they're a bunch of thugs.
The World Trade Organization, NAFTA, and other acronyms of globaloney have simply worked against the interests of farmers and consumers.
Out of the roadway, please!
Trade has unfairly become a whipping boy.
Steve Kruger, KPLU 88.5, NPR.